Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Hey, is everybody happy to be in God's house today? Somebody say amen. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor, tell them this, tell them you're lucky you got to sit by me today in the house of God. And if you have a Bible on you this morning, I want you to go ahead and open it up. Let's go to the Gospel of St. Mark, the Gospel of St. Mark. We're believing that these kids are going to have the greatest year ever and believing they're going to learn something today in the house of God. Amen. But I want you to go ahead and turn over to the Gospel of St. Mark in chapter 10. If you have your Bible on you today, if you don't have a Bible on you today, you could look at your neighbor's Bible, or if you have an iPhone on you, you could go ahead and open up your iPhone and go to Mark chapter 10, and I have about three words in my spirit I want to get to you today. I'm not going to preach long. I'll probably preach 15 to 20 minutes because allergies have attacked my voice. I've always said this. I learned it from a pastor friend of mine, is that I would rather fight devils than pollen. Somebody say amen to that. If I get just a little more monitor up here, that'd be great. But I want you to stretch your hands towards your preacher and let's pray. Let's pray my voice holds out and let's pray your ears do as well. Come on, somebody say amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the people under the sound of my voice right now. I pray you'd strengthen my voice. Help me deliver your word in Jesus' name. I pray that you lift the people. I declare our faith is growing supernaturally even now. So Lord, I thank you that we don't have weak faith, but we have strong faith. I declare we are an all the more kind of people, and that we walk out of this room with that revelation today in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. You know, I went to preach a couple of weeks ago. I was preaching out in Texas, and I had one of these messages that I preached at least 100 times. And once you preach something about 100 times, you know how to preach it. And what we call those messages is we call those traveling messages. Every pastor loves to preach them. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere where a traveling evangelist was speaking, and the guy gets up to speak, and I'm telling you, he tells the jokes at the right time, and the entire crowd laughs. He tells the sad stories at the right time, and the entire crowd cries. He knows how to move the altar, and you walk away, and you say, there's the greatest preacher that's ever lived on the face of the earth. But what you don't know is that he preached that same message 379 nights in a row, and you just happen to be part 379. And I had one of those messages. Local church pastors don't get to do that very often. We do that like five times a year, and we've been preaching that message 15 years when we do it. Now, I was going somewhere to preach it on a Sunday morning. I was preaching in Texas, and late Saturday night, I was walking through the place I was staying, and three words came up in my spirit. And about once a year, I change what I'm preaching. It's not very often. Some guys show up every week, and they say God changed their message. And I believe it's because they didn't have a message to begin with. But these three words came up in my spirit, and I knew I had to preach out of Mark chapter 10. And these are the words that I want you to walk out of here with today. The words are all the more. Would you say that out loud with me? Somebody say, all the more. Let's say it again, all the more. I want to show you where it comes from in Mark chapter 10, reading starting in verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. If you're there, go ahead and say, uh-huh, here's how it reads. It says this, now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out, what's the words, church? All the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Come on, let's give Jesus, our healer, a biggest hand clap, a big shout of praise. Does anybody believe he's still in the healing business out there today? All the more. Here's what happens is Jesus is going to a city by the name of Jericho. Now, Jericho happens to mean a fragrant place. Jericho was about 20 miles north of the Dead Sea. It's a well-watered place. It's watered by a spring called the Spring of Elijah. If you ever read the story of Elijah where ravens brought and they fed Elijah supernaturally, ravens brought him food from the air, and where water came forth from Elijah, this is the spring that Elijah was fed from, and it becomes the city of Jericho. Jericho is the most ancient city in the world. Oldest artifacts dug out of the earth to this day, they come from this spot in Jericho. And during the days of Jesus, Jericho became a prosperous place. Because of the water they had there, they had agricultural success. As a matter of fact, many of the things that go in the anointing oil that you hear preachers talk about, that oil from the Old Testament, it was grown around Jericho. So whenever you would walk into that city, you would smell something that smelled better than anything else you'd smell in the desert. It was a fragrant place. But even in a beautiful place and a prosperous place and a fragrant place, how many know you can still find some broken people? Just because things look good on the outside doesn't always mean things look good on the inside. Can I get an amen out there? Just because somebody's from the right area code, just because somebody's from the right socioeconomic status, just because somebody has the perfect picture at the beach where all the families are in the white shirt, kneeled down in front of the surf. How many know it might look beautiful on the outside, but it can be broken on the inside? Jesus goes to this beautiful place called Jericho. There happens to be a broken man in the midst of all this beauty. I want to remind you, in America, in one of the most successful economies in the world, in a great time where the stock market is roaring, we are still surrounded by broken people. Even though we look down on our phone, if we would look up, I'm going to tell you the fields are white with harvest. People are looking for a Messiah to heal them, touch them, change them, and help them up out of their problem. Come on, you have the answer for their brokenness. Don't forget about them. Just because they're dressed up doesn't mean their wounds have been dressed with the oil of Gilead. Somebody say amen. He walks down to Jericho. There's a crowd going with him. Talking about a rabbi. Rabbi was the rock star of his day. Now, you didn't just get to be a rabbi if you were anybody. You had to be the top of your class. You were the valedictorian, so to speak. How many straight A students in high school do we have in here? Let me see your hands right now. Any straight A students? All right, I was going to boo you, but you won't even admit because you're afraid the crowd will attack you right now. See, guys like me that were B's or C's didn't get to go on and become rabbis during the day of Jesus. You had to be the top of your class. If you were going to be a rabbi, you had to memorize the first five books of the Torah. First five books of your Bible committed to memory. Top of your class. When you're 13 years of age, if you were the best in your class, you would be given an opportunity to ask a rabbi if you could follow them. And here's how the ceremony went. You would go out where a rabbi was teaching. And as the rabbi was done teaching, you would go and you would stand up in front of everyone. It wasn't a hidden affair. Everyone had to see it. Everyone had to feel it. Everyone would know if you were accepted or rejected. See, the ancient Near East did not care as much about people's feelings as we do today. So the young student would stand up in front of everybody as the rabbi taught, and they would say this. They would say it three times. They would say the first time, "Rabbi, may I follow you?" They'd have to say it a second time, no answer. "Rabbi, may I follow you?" Now the whole crowd knows what's happening, and everybody's watching to see if this kid will be accepted or rejected. Then the kid would say a third time, "Rabbi, may I follow you?" And the rabbi would answer in one of two ways. He would say, "Yes, follow me." When he said "follow me," he was saying, "I think you have what it takes. You're smart enough. You're sharp enough. You can be a rabbi." If not, he would say, "Go learn the trade of your father." And that was a rejection. Do you know why everybody followed Jesus whenever he walks up to guys that are working as fishermen and he just walks up and he says, follow me, and they just magically kind of drop their nets and follow him? It's because in their world, you had to ask a rabbi to follow him. But whenever Jesus did it, he flipped the script. And instead of us asking if we could follow him, he comes down and he asks if we will follow him. He turns it around. How many know we didn't choose Jesus? Jesus chose us. We weren't the top of the class, but he came to us after the fact, after the matter, calls you out. He likes the C student and the D student. He even likes those of you in the back of the class this morning. Come on, give him a hand clap. The rabbi is for them. Somebody say amen to that. And so a rabbi shows up. Man, a rock star's there. This isn't just any rabbi. This one's opening the eyes of the blind. This one's causing the deaf to hear. The lame, they're walking. He's giving prophetic words, but more than that, come on, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Everybody say this. Say, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God. Come on, let's say it again. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God. Well, there happened to be a man sitting by while all of this was happening. His name is Bartimaeus. Now, if you ever see the word bar in the scripture, bar simply means son of. My son wouldn't be named Bar Brian, son of Brian. Didn't have a good role to it, so we named him Justice instead, Bar Brian. But Bartimaeus is son of Timaeus. And Timaeus itself means something like this, honored one. Honored one. Timaeus was honored one. But whenever the son of Timaeus was born, the son of Timaeus had something wrong with his physical body. They realized very quickly that this child was blind. And whenever you were born blind 2,000 years ago, they believed that it was something that was placed on you because of the sin of your parents or because of your own sin in your mother's womb. Now we know through the lens of grace, whenever sickness comes to this world, it comes because we live in a fallen world system and there's a mean devil. Come on, how many of you know just because a kid's born with an illness, it doesn't mean that God is judging them or somebody's sin? How many of you know that this world is just a crash site, but thank God we have a healer named Jesus to redeem us? Come on, let's give God a hand clap. We have a good God. We understand that. We see things through the lens of grace. But they didn't see it through the lens of grace. They saw it through a lens of judgment. And so instead of naming him the son of honor, they changed the second part of his name just slightly. It's a play on words in the original language. Instead of it meaning son of honor, his name began to mean this, son of uncleanness. So every time Bartimaeus' name was called, what was being spoken over him was son of uncleanness. You are unclean. You are less than. You don't have what it takes. God has cursed you. You'll never be anything. Son of uncleanness. Nobody would name a child that today. 2,000 years ago, him being born blind, he gets pegged with this name. And this name becomes his identity. He lives in a beautiful place, but he's broken. See, identity sticks with people. Whatever is spoken over a person, said about a person, released into a person, sometimes it can travel with them way into their adult years. How many of you know we believe around here that life and death are in the power of the tongue? Come on, somebody. Those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. And so whenever I'm speaking, I can speak life into a person by speaking words of edification, exhortation, comfort, speaking the scripture, or I can speak death into a person by speaking the words of this world, by speaking words from the flesh, by speaking words that tear down. How many know we want to be a church that speaks life instead of speaks death? We want to speak blessing instead of speaking cursing. We want to speak positive, come on somebody, instead of speaking negative, because we know our words have power and our words are shaping identity. What I say to my children, I believe this, it is helping shape their identity. Now, I'm not saying there's never a time to correct somebody. Come on, we believe in correction, but we need to edify and lift up 99 times to every one time we correct with our words. Somebody say amen to that. Bartimaeus hears that all the time, son of uncleanness. It becomes his identity, so to speak. His identity also becomes something he wears in life. Blind Bartimaeus had no other work alternative 2,000 years ago except to beg. And back during those days, not just anybody could set up on the side of the road with a sign. As a matter of fact, the temple and the priests would vet who was a real beggar and who had real help or need and who was a con man or who was a phony. How many of you have ever watched one of those exposés where the guy at the light with the sign brings home $80K a year, gets in his nice car and drives back to his super nice condo where he's hanging out with his friends? Well, here's the way they did it. They would bring any person that wanted to beg or had a need to the temple. And there was a group of men assigned by the priest that would look at their life, look at their story, and vet them. And if they saw that they really needed assistance, they would be given a special cloak from the temple. They would wear that cloak every day. That cloak said, I'm not able to work, I'm a beggar, but I've been vetted, I'm for real. I think a system like that would still be a pretty good system somewhere where we vet people in 2018. It makes sense. Somebody say amen to that. So blind Bartimaeus is sitting by the side of the road. And one day he heard that Jesus was coming through town. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do you know you're doing yourself a service right now just sitting, hearing the word of God? As you hear the word of God, your faith grows. I'm telling you, whenever I have the worst days of my life, do you know what I typically do? I try to find a preacher to turn on. I want to hear somebody that's going to feed my faith. And I've tried to find a guy that preaches faith. Now turn it on, now listen to it, because I know if I listen long enough, man, something's going to birth and jump up out of my spirit. I take the word of God, I put it on, I listen to it. I'll listen to the word, I'll listen to preachers, I'll fast, or I'll listen to music. I want to feed my faith. How many know we ought to be a church that feeds our faith and starves our doubts? You put the doubt out, you put the faith in, you win in the end. Bartimaeus is sitting by the side of the road and he hears. Everybody say he hears. Come on, hearing is powerful. Right now, something powerful is going into your spirit. Right now, some of you have doubted that God would ever do anything good in your life, and I'm going to tell you somebody's going to walk out of here with a different spirit. You're going to walk out of here with a spirit of faith. You're going to walk out of here with your head lifted up. Your head's not going to be downcast anymore. God's going to do something on your behalf. He heard that Jesus was coming. The Bible says whenever he heard that Jesus was walking by, blind Bartimaeus didn't sit there like a knot on a log. Blind Bartimaeus began to do the only thing he knew to do. Couldn't see where Jesus was. Couldn't see to find him. But he could hear the crowd coming. And so he began to cry out. And he began to scream these words. He said, Jesus. And he didn't stop there. He said, Son of David. Come on, somebody say, Son of David. Let's say it again, Son of David. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew that Jesus was the Son of David. Now, whenever he says Son of David, he's not saying prophet. He's not saying teacher. He's not saying rabbi. He's saying Messiah, Son of the living God, whenever he says Son of David. It's one thing for people to say that Jesus is a prophet. It's another thing, the Muslims will tell you Jesus is a prophet. It's one thing for them to say Jesus is a teacher. It's not enough to say he's a teacher. Some would say he's another leader, a political leader standing against Rome like a Gandhi. It's not enough to say he's like a Gandhi. I'm telling you who Jesus is. Jesus is the Son of David. He is the Messiah. He's the second person of the Godhead. He is the Lion. He is the Lamb. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the first. He'll be the last. I'm telling you what, he is God in the flesh. Blind Bartimaeus had a revelation of who he was. And he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you would think all of the good people of faith would be encouraged that this man has this revelation. You know, it's been my experience that almost nobody gets excited about somebody's revelation whenever they first get it. The Bible says that the people around them, it says that they all told him to be quiet. They said to be quiet. I got a question I want to submit to you. Who in the world is they anyway? Come on. How many of y'all been hearing about they all your life? They said this. They think that. They don't like this. They think you're in over your head. You know who I've pastored for I don't know how many years now. How many years have we been doing this, Jesse? I've lost count now. Whatever. It's 16 years pastoring. And most of the time, let me define who they is. They is a person, their spouse, and their one best friend, and nobody else. So you got to learn to put they in they place in life if you're ever going to have God's best in your life. You got to learn to tell they to be quiet. They can sit down. They can stick it. They can shut up. They can take the back seat. You're going to get your miracle. You're going to see your God move. You're going to have your day. You're not going to be blind anymore. And if you'll learn to tell they to take a hike, you just might get the rabbi's attention. The Bible says that he didn't stop there. The Bible says that he cried out. There's three little words there it says. The Bible says they told him to be quiet, and the Bible says he sat down. Doesn't say that, does it? The Bible says they told him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more. They told him to shut up, but he cried out all the more. They told him to sit down, but he cried out all the more. And I'm telling you what, if you'll get an all the more spirit, you'll get some miracles flowing in your life. If you'll get an all the more spirit, you'll see God move on your behalf. If you'll get an all the more spirit, you might see your marriage get put back together. You get an all the more spirit and your kid addicted on drugs might get set free. Come on, somebody. You get an all the more spirit and you might come up and out of that poverty that's plagued your family for generations. It's the all the more spirit that changes things. The Bible says blind Bartimaeus didn't just cry out a little bit. He cried out. What's it say, church? He cried out. Come on, say it like you mean it. He cried out what, church? I want you to get it today. He cried out like what, church? And when he cried out all the more, the scripture says that cry, that force of faith, it stopped the rabbi. Think about it. There's a crowd of people around. Man, there's a throng. There's a multitude. It's like a parade. This guy might as well have been a needle in a haystack. But when he cried out all the more, all of a sudden the rabbi stops, turns around. See, the cry of faith will always stop Jesus. Not just to cry. I'm telling you, crying won't necessarily get you a miracle. I've watched people religiously trained. They think if they come to an altar and they cry loud enough that they're going to move the hand of God. They're not going to move the hand of God with their tears. They think if they make a big enough spectacle, it'll move the hand of God. But a spectacle doesn't move the hand of God. I'm telling you what'll move the hand of God. The force of faith is what moves the hand of God. And there's a difference between a cry and a cry of faith. There's a difference between just a spectacle and somebody moving by faith. Blind Bartimaeus moves by faith, and the good rabbi stops. I'm telling you, somebody's going to move by faith in here, and Jesus is going to stop on your behalf today, and your world's going to be turned right side up. Come on, somebody, if you believe it, you ought to give God a hand clap in advance by faith. God, I feel faith beginning to rise in the room right now. I feel like somebody's getting close to a miracle in here. Now, I can feel the force of faith in the room. Sometimes I don't feel any. Right now, I feel it. I feel faith pulling on the room right now. And he cries out all the more. The rabbi stops. He asks him a question. It's amazing. We're talking about a blind guy looking at him. He says, what do you want from me? It's like, well, what do you think I want, you know? But God likes being asked. The Bible says you have not because you what, church? And I'll tell you, I'm guilty of not asking for enough a lot of times. How many of you ever thought just because God's your father and he's a good father that some of the things that you thought should be happening by now should have already happened, but you didn't really ask for it specifically, and you're just kind of like, why am I not there yet? Well, maybe I'm not there yet because I didn't ask for it enough. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. What would you have me do for you? And he said that I may receive my sight. Jesus gives him these answers. He says this. He says, go your way. He didn't say your loud cries made you whole. He didn't say your spectacles made you whole. He says your faith has made you whole. Come on, somebody say your faith has made you whole. So this guy who showed up blind goes walking away seeing, and he has a miracle. What I believe today is I believe somebody needs a miracle in here, and you're going to walk out of here different than the way you came in. I believe the rabbi is here, and I believe if somebody might move with an all the more spirit, somebody might move with an all the more faith, somebody might move with an all the more heart and an all the more attitude, there might be an all the more manifestation just right around the corner for you. And that thing you've been looking for years, it could break forth suddenly. It could just split the sky and fall in your lap quicker than you could imagine. There's an all the more thing God wants to do on your behalf, but it's going to take an all the more attitude. I think about it sometimes, what if we were an all the more kind of church? What if we were the kind of people, if they said it couldn't be done, we began to cry out, come on somebody, all the more. What if we had some all the more kind of families in here? When people say, hey, you can't raise good kids in 2018, we'll be like, oh, no, you might not be able to raise good kids in 2018, but I'm telling you, in our church, we're going to raise some God-honoring, Holy Spirit, Bible-believing kids that come up in purity, different than the world. We're going to be an all the more kind of family. What if somebody said you can't do something like that in Owensboro? What if we said, no, we're the all the more people, and you may say it can't be done here, but we say it can be done here. You see, history is littered with stories of all the more kind of people. How many of you have ever heard of there was a little basketball player. He played a career up in Chicago by number 23. Anybody know who I'm talking about out there? What was his name? LeBron? No. Michael. Michael Jordan, right? The greatest basketball player that ever played the game. LeBron will never touch him. All you LeBron guys, it's a different day, and Michael didn't have as many steroids. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm saying out there right now. But here's what I'll say. You know, when Michael was a sophomore, Michael Jordan, let me take a poll. How many of you guys or girls owned a pair of Michael Jordan tennis shoes at some point in your life? How many of you have a pair in your closet right now? I have a pair in my closet right now. And I'm going to wear all my hoop gear for you next weekend. I'll be here in it. No, I'm terrible. I didn't play basketball. I have two left hands, but I played football because I couldn't dribble. That's what happens to kids that can't dribble. They play football. Jordan, when he was a sophomore, did you know this? Jordan tried out for the varsity basketball team. And they told him that he would never be able to play basketball at that level because of his size. How many of you think that it's a good thing that Jordan didn't listen whenever they said, you don't have what it takes? How many of y'all think it's a good thing that Jordan kept working out and crying out and trying all the more? Come on, somebody. Let me ask you another question. How many of you have an Apple device in your pocket or your car right now? Let me see your hands. How many of you have a Samsung device? I do not understand you for the life of me. I don't get you at all, but I love you in Jesus, all right? I don't understand you. Steve Jobs had a dream. And Jobs' dream was this. He said, I'm going to put a computer in every house in America. The guys at IBM laughed at him, told him he was crazy. He said, why in the world would people want a computer in their home? If you study the life of Steve Jobs, not a Christian guy, ruthless guy, a guy most of us wouldn't even want to eat dinner with back in his prime. But I'm telling you what, Jobs had an all the more kind of spirit. You told him it couldn't be done. He said, oh, yes, it can. Let me ask you one more question. How many of you have a computer in your home right now somewhere? Let me see your hands. That's what happens when somebody cries out all the more. You know, there's more stories like that. We're sitting in a room right now with light bulbs. You've been listening to amplified music. You've watched a screen up here with video on it. Do you know all of these are the brain children of one by the name of Thomas Edison? Whenever Edison went to school as a child, he was sent home one day with a note. He comes home with the note in his own hand sealed to take it to his mother. His mother opens up the note in front of Thomas, reads the note. The note says, "We're sorry, Mrs. Edison, but your son is a dullard. He is unable to learn. We need a seat for a child who is smart that we can teach. We want to encourage you to help him find some sort of menial task to do in life." She read the letter. Edison looks up at her and says, "What does it say?" She looks back down at him and says, "Listen, the teacher and the principal said that you are so smart that they're unable to teach you anymore because your education is so advanced that I need to find someone who is smart enough to train you the way you should be trained." Come on, somebody. How about a mama that cried out, not just a little bit, but cried out, what, church? All the more. You know, I think about the church we're sitting in right now. This church, in a large part, it's here because of Jesse Gibson on the front row. And I've told this story throughout the years, but we came home because we didn't know where to go. How many know you go home when you don't know where to go, right? Anybody ever been through that in life? Something didn't work out, and you got to go home for a little bit. It's like, "Mom, we left a year ago, but we're back. How are you?" Mom was so glad to see us back, she bought a little rent house in town to move us into. Thank you, Mom, if you're out there right now. But we came home. We didn't know where to go. And we're in our mid-20s, I was. And so Jesse goes to the mall one day and runs into somebody that wasn't a friend but was an acquaintance, really. And they asked Jesse, "What are you guys going to do with your life now that you're back?" We'd left. We'd been pastoring in a church above Kansas City, and some stuff just got weird there. It's gotten even weirder now. It's not really even a church that believes the Bible's the Word of God anymore. We left at the right time. But we came home very disappointed. But through the Word of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord, we believe that we were to pioneer and plant a church in Owensboro, Kentucky. And so Jesse told this lady asked her, "What are you going to do? What are y'all going to do with your life now? What's up with you guys?" And Jesse said, "Well, we're going to plant a church in Owensboro. We believe that there's room there for a spirit-filled modern church that's Bible-believing, preaches the gospel." The woman looked at her and said, "Well, whatever you do with your life, do not go to Owensboro, Kentucky and plant a church." Said, "We were on a part of a church planting team that went to Owensboro, and it failed miserably. It's some of the worst years of our life. Biggest attacks of the devil we'd ever had. Those people in Owensboro, they don't want a church. They don't want a move of God. We shook the dust off of our feet and we left. So whatever you do, don't go to Owensboro." And Jesse looked up at her and just smiled, didn't say much. But she said these words. She said, "The gates of hell will not prevail." Come on, somebody. She cried out. Somebody say, "All the more." You know, I've watched people like blind Bartimaeus multiple times in ministry over the last 20 years of being a Christ follower. I've seen them move with faith and get healings. I've seen them move with faith, and I've seen the barren have children. Come on, somebody. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen deaf ears hear. I've seen the lame walk before. Now, I'm not just saying that. I've seen it with my eyes. I'm telling you, whenever somebody moves with faith, somebody cries out like Bartimaeus, somebody gets that all the more spirit, it's like they hook into the things of God. The impossible becomes possible. The realm that you live in and you see, the natural realm, whenever somebody begins to move in faith, natural law is suspended for a moment. And now spiritual law, which is larger than natural law, begins to step into the scene. What faith does is faith takes this natural realm we live in and it peels it back, and you can step through it. You can believe like nobody else believes anymore. Now I'm telling you what, you can see and have the impossible and the improbable. But what it takes is it takes a heart that believes without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. That's what an all the more spirit is.